Good morning. I'm Louis Sines, your host for Focus on Campus. And joining us today are Catherine Pearson and Vanessa Buckler. And they're here to talk about a very interesting study that they're doing as part of their occupational therapy graduate program. And as I mentioned, we're going to talk a little bit more about that program. But first, I want to take the time to welcome you both to the program. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
As occupational therapy graduate students, tell us a little bit about what you all do in the program, or, you know, if somebody out there is listening and go, it sounds like an interesting program, what is it that I would do? What kind of job would I have? So what kind of things have you been doing in your graduate program?
We are very busy. Teachers keep us on our toes. But my main part of occupational therapy is helping people getting to do whatever it is that they find meaningful, whether that's something like gardening or something as simple as getting yourself dressed in the morning. We work with a variety of patients, a wide variety. We work in the NICU. You'll find us with rehab. You'll find us with pediatrics. You'll find us in mental health places as well.
Also skilled nursing facilities.
Just out of curiosity, what got you both interested in occupational therapy? I mean, is this something that you were learning about in high school, or have you always heard about it, read about it?
No, I didn't learn about occupational therapy until I was working at a preschool, and one of the children there was receiving therapy, and the change in him was so dramatic, I had to know what this therapy was about because I had never heard about it before.
And what about you?
My brother has autism, severe autism, and so occupational therapy has kind of always been a part of my life. I didn't really know what they did until I did nursing, and my patient had an OT, and she worked wonders with her and kind of helped me promote so that I could make benefits for my patient as well.
And so what kind of adjustments, if you don't mind me asking you, personally did you all have to make as a family for your brother?
Well, my parents, you know, they don't get as much credit as they should. They had to make a lot of sacrifices for both of us. A lot of therapy, they kind of tried out on me a little bit just to see if it would be beneficial to my brother, and then they would do it with him. And then growing up with my brother, it's not a typical sibling relationship, but we still love each other very much.
Now, the study that I mentioned you all are working on is about perception caregivers have in using technology, because as you all know, we use technology all the time. And I just heard one of my colleagues a little while ago saying that the system is down, so it's slowing them down. And I'm going, wow, you know, when we don't have that computer or our phone or something in front of us, it's like they've taken away everything from us. And you all have developed a study, you're working on something specifically dealing with parents of children with Down syndrome.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's correct.
Actually, children, well, all the way to 18, correct?
Our scope is 12 to 21.
12 to 21, okay. Mm-hmm. So tell us about this study, either one of you.
Well, it started as a research project. We found an article that we thought was very interesting about a little girl who was experiencing some bullying, and it was related to how she was using her cell phone to text her peers. So she was working with an occupational therapist to develop strategies to better improve her social participation in more appropriate ways. So we wanted to expand on that and see how that translated to other electronic communication devices. And we started looking at research and just really started becoming interested in what the caregiver's role is in facilitating the use of those electronic devices.
As far as some of those devices, Vanessa, would you like to tell us a little bit more about? Because sometimes people don't see that these devices and how technology actually helps a caregiver or the patient, because we take it for granted that we have them all around us all the time.
Well, we're looking at specifically smartphones, iPads, the internet in general, basically anything that the child can use to communicate. A lot of apps that even some of us didn't know about, like WhatsApp and Yak, I think is the account. I don't even know, Snapchat. These are all applications that you don't just find on a cell phone. I mean, they're on the iPad as well. So our interest was, are these children using them, and are their parents mediating them, or do they have any concerns?
Before we did the interview, you were letting us know that you're still working on this. And so if someone out there is interested in participating in your survey, what is it that you're looking for?
So we're looking for any caregiver, and that's not just parents, because we are in a region where it's not just parents who take care of the child, it's also grandparents, aunts, uncles, even siblings at times, looking for caregivers of persons with Down syndrome, ages 12 to 21, who would be willing to take no more than an hour, probably, to do an interview with us.
A face-to-face interview.
What I see here as far as where it says help guide caregiver stress and burnout at this particular website, is this part of the study that you're doing, or is this an online survey? What is this, Catherine?
That part is actually a resource for our parents, just something that they can go to if they find that they're having difficulties being in this regard. This isn't actually part of our survey. It's just an extra resource for the parents that we're giving them.
And as far as the parents or whoever the caregiver may be, because sometimes it could be an older brother or sister, etc., what is it that you are looking for in them? People sometimes will say, well, you know, I would like to participate in this study, but I don't know if I have the time or I don't have the educational things. And there are so many things that all of a sudden they put in front of themselves, not realizing that they're so talented. They're overtasked, as you mentioned about your parents. They do so much that they don't realize just how much they do and how they can help other parents by contributing what you are looking for.
We really appreciate any time that any participants take to interview with us. As far as education is concerned, we really don't focus on that because cell phones and technology and internet, that's used across various socioeconomic standards. So we really want to look at as much of a variety as we can get. And we're willing to drive out to the parents. We've already done that a few times. And we're willing to work around their schedule as well.
And how many people are you looking for as far as participants? Is there a cap that you're looking at?
Well, since we're doing interviews, we're looking at probably a cap of 10 to 15, something around that number.
When you're there, do you need to also, well, you mentioned that you can go to their home. Does the patient child need to be there as well? Or
No, not at all. And we're actually probably prefer to meet at a public place for safety reasons. But a public place near the home would be very much workable.
So tell us a little bit about some of the things you've gotten so far and what else you need to do.
We have gotten a few interviews. What we would like is to maybe just get a few more.
Amazingly, what we've found is that, especially with children on the younger part of the age range, they don't really use the cell phones or the iPads for communication. They use it for entertainment and games. And so that kind of brings to question the opportunities, what these devices can bring to these children.
So in a way, you can also see that these smartphones or whatever are being used to, as you mentioned, entertain the child. But in a way, it also allows them to say, hey, you know, you don't have to be away from the other students. You can be just like them by playing these games or doing these things, etc.
Oh, absolutely. And we've actually found research that shows that a child with disabilities is just as likely as a typically developed child to use this kind of technology. And they prefer it in a way.
I guess it doesn't matter. A child's a child, whether they have Down syndrome or not, because I know I've had friends who have siblings who have Down syndrome, and I had it as well. They're just as eager to use whatever you have as just anybody else.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
What about the parents? And I don't know if you experienced this, but I know I have with some of my family members. Sometimes there's a shame, but not for them, but they're trying to just be protective of that child because, as you mentioned, there's bullying sometimes going around and people will say, well, you know, look at this person. And I guess an example of, we interviewed the author of Forrest Gump, and he talked about the fact that that story was based on an idiot savant who lived near his dad and the fact that the kids used to make fun of him, but then all of a sudden they realize, wow, look at the talent this young man has. So tell us about some of the other things that you're looking for. I mean, as far as when you get all these interviews done and you compile everything, how is this information going to be used?
We're going to use it maybe to look at some apps that perhaps us as occupational therapists can develop if caregivers voice any concerns that they have for their child using the device. Because even though some of them are able to use the device, they might not understand all of the ins and outs of certain applications. So we're actually asking, as one of our interview questions, if there's a topic that you feel is important, an educational topic related to this, what would you want it to be so that maybe we can help develop programs based around what the parent feels is important or even what they feel their child might benefit from.
And so how did you all go around, about compiling these questions? Did you ask around from other studies, or did you find just from people you work with or, live and friends with?
We compiled a mass of research, went through all of them, and kind of picked out themes that we saw like, hey, these are kind of reoccurring, but they weren't specifically asked towards the Down syndrome population. It was just in adolescents in general. And in fact, there's kind of limited research on technology use and Down syndrome. So we kind of wanted to delve into that a little bit.
Why do you think there is? It seems like there would be tons of information out there regarding the technology.
I'm really not sure why there's so little research around that topic. There's a lot of research around typically developed adolescents or children using any kind of technology, but when it comes to special needs populations, there isn't much. So we wanted to see if there's any kind of overlap, if parents have the same concerns, or if they are markedly different concerns.
Some people might wonder about if it matters where you are geographically as far as the child and the culture and everything else like that.
We found a few differences between cultures, but as far as we know, in this particular region, in this country at least, there doesn't seem to be a lot of variance from what we could tell. And that would be like a future study if somebody wanted to really dive into the cultural differences.
And because, as you all mentioned, the fact that you're doing the study doesn't necessarily mean that this is it and it's complete, because as we all know, in academia, whenever we start something, there's always another question to be answered.
Yes.
And then sometimes, hopefully, our professors won't have a question that, why didn't you answer this? Because you all have been working very hard. And this is something that you're going to conclude at the end of the semester, but is this just because of the end of the semester, or are you going to continue doing this research?
We actually kind of hope to continue it. We'd like to get more interviews and more surveys done to get a better picture of what's going on with this population and with the caregivers.
So Vanessa and Catherine, if you wouldn't mind sharing with us perhaps a webpage or an email or some kind of contact so people can contact you if they want to participate in this online survey or if they want to do something else.
If you would like to participate in either the online survey or the face-to-face interview, you are more than welcome to email myself, Catherine Pearson, at KL McFarlane, and I'll spell the last name for you. It's M-C-F as in Frank, A-R-L-A-N-E, at minors.utep.edu. And we'd be more than happy to share with you the survey link and meet with you whenever you're available.
Is there anything else that you would like to add before we close, Vanessa?
I believe we actually do have something on our UTEP occupational therapy site, though I do not have the
So would they just go to utep.edu/occupational therapy?
Yes.
That is another option.
Well, thank you both so much for taking the time to be with us here today and also for taking the time to do this study to help out the parents and children. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, sir.
We've been visiting with Catherine Pearson and Vanessa Buckler, who are doing some work in occupational therapy to develop some information and technology for caregivers of children with Down syndrome between the ages of 12 and 21. Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Felipe Talavera. Our producer is Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Luis Sáenz.